chill. I'm gonna need you to chill.
I'm gonna need you to chill.
Did you ever listen to the Jen and Julian podcast? I mean, we listened to a few episodes.
Yeah,
together.
We listened together.
It's probably okay. Oh, I thought she was yawning, but I thought she was biting the cord. I understand now why they had to make their whole show. Like, the dogs were all okay. Yep, she's biting my headphones.
Yep.
Why the dogs were always involved in everything they did, because it's like you can't put them in another room.
Yeah.
And then when they're in the room, they're gonna be she's already pulled my headphones off.
They're tiny children.
Yeah. I find ever since I became a dog owner, I have so much more appreciation for human mothers of humans, tiny humans. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
I know that the two things are...
I mean, even dog motherhood.
Yeah. I mean,
a lot of patience.
I know that the two things are very different, and one would assume that one is more intensive than the other. One would assume correctly, but for whatever reason, just having this small glimpse into motherhood has made me much more appreciative of new moms.
Yeah.
Or young,
yeah.
Mothers of young,
a lot of
small
attention.
Humans. Any aged humans, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how my mom put up with me.
Yep.
That's the stuff. Anyways, welcome to Intentional.
Oh, hello, Christy.
I'm Christy.
I'm Tay.
This is Tay. This is the show where we chat about living an intentional life. This is our second episode.
Second ep.
Going strong.
I was about to say in the books. It's not in the books yet because it has just started.
Right. We're recording this on the day that episode one went live.
Yeah.
So it's only been up for a small amount of time. But yeah, I definitely listened back to it this morning and realized how scatterbrained of a human that I am.
I don't think it was that scattered.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
Yeah. I really don't. Okay. I think we kept on track.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. Anytime that I'm doing like any sort of life update situation of a podcast, or anything that I'm making, it's kind of hard to sum up everything into like one show without being scatterbrained, because when there's things to, like, I could do a life update every day.
Seriously.
I'm sure we all could do that.
Truly.
You know, life happens.
Different day every day.
It's like, you know, the expression same shit every day. Is it really though?
No.
Or what? No, wait, what's the expression?
Yeah.
Different.
Same shit, different day.
Nice.
Boom.
Anyways, welcome to the show.
welcome.
Highlight of the week. Let's jump right in.
All right. Well, my highlight of the week, you actually just mentioned, and it is the release of the first episode.
Oh.
I feel like it's just been a really heartwarming experience.
Yeah.
Or just like feeling today kind of deal. It's really nice to feel the support from people all around. And I don't know, I think it's cool that we get to just talk about something that is important to us and just like kind of a part of our regular lives, and we get to chat about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like too, my highlight of the week was going to be similar in that, because obviously it's like a big thing that,
yeah,
you know, launching the podcast, Rue's pawing at the door. If you can hear that in the background, I'm sorry. Again, I understand why Jenna and Julian had their dogs in the show all the time. But yeah, I think my highlight is that we launched, but not only did we launch, there's definitely been a lot of, this is my first time that I'm embarking on something with someone else. Like, my entire career has been me. And so I'm learning to share and, you know, have other people contribute ideas. Rue's playing with an elastic band, so I'm gonna go grab that because that seems dangerous.
She just tossed it. Yeah, but totally, it's just been a new adventure for both of us, and definitely a growing experience in different ways. But for sure, I definitely feel that growth happening.
Also, I mean, this sounds really bad, but this is just something that's been apparently in me since I was a child. I've always struggled to share.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't. And so just me, you know, learning how to do that. And I'm like not proud of some of, you know, the things Like, I maybe have not approached it from the most sharing aspect, because we have small differences, you know, like, yeah. An example would be picking the thumbnail.
Yeah.
I was designing, I was short on time. I wanted to go with my color palette. We just had a difficulty picking the color palette, which is
yeah, but I mean, dumb. Was it even difficulty? It's just like, yeah. It's just conversation, yeah. And partnership and, you know, getting through the fact that like, oh, maybe like I don't necessarily vibe with this idea. Let's find a place that's in the middle. Yeah. And I think that we totally have done that.
I hope so.
Yeah.
And there'll be more. Just learning how to work with your friends too.
Yeah. Oh,
it,
yeah.
It would be the same definitely. Thing as if I was learning how to work with my partner, mm-hmm. You know.
It's a whole nother level to it.
Yeah.
But I think that we both always come from a place of compassion.
Yeah.
So with that, I don't know. I would find it hard for it to get too, like, volatile.
Yeah. Also, it's funny because it's like I've noticed that in me, you know, I have like an opinion on something and then I just take 2 minutes to like chill and I'm like, you know what? You choose the colors. Yeah,
we just got to ruminate on it for a moment and yeah. We're like, you know what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Learning how to work with your friends, starting a new project with your friend is yeah. A lot, but in a good way.
Definitely.
And I think that that's exciting.
Yeah. Oh, so we had like the same highlight of the week.
Yeah. same but different.
Same but different.
Yeah. I'm also proud of the launch. I think, like, you know, especially it took me a lot longer to edit the first one. So our plan going forward is that we're planning to release it every Monday.
Oh, yes.
Is going to be the goal. Truth be told, we all know me and it might end up being Tuesday on occasion, but no later than that. I actually like am loving having you here because I'm held accountable to a human being. Not that I'm not held accountable to people who are listening and watching regularly, but you can't deny that there's like a difference yeah. Between
oh absolutely
in person. Like, you can literally call me and be like, why isn't it up, and yell at me.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, totally.
And there's like a different, you know, we're best friends, so there's an emotional connection there of like, yeah, I can't sure. Disappoint her. But yeah, so that's going to be the plan going forward.
Yeah.
And the first week, it went up on a Friday instead of, I think I had originally planned a Tuesday, but I just, yeah. You know, had to make the thumbnail, had to make the, like, yeah. There was a lot of working out the kinks of the first episode that we shouldn't need to do going forward.
Yeah, no. So yeah, first episode just kind of went out, but more to come is going to happen on Mondays, maybe Tuesdays. So we're trying to keep it on Monday.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Starting your week off right.
Starting your week off right.
A little dose of Christian Tay.
Yeah. Says with confidence. Anyways. So yeah, here we are. I also will say, this will be the last like info about the show update, but I would love to have people over on YouTube watching the show. I know that originally our platform was audio when I was running Into Intentional, the first podcast, which I've kind of just like made this one like season four because I don't see the point in starting a new RSS
yeah.
feed.
Yeah.
But I would really appreciate for sure if people were over on YouTube, because as of right now, I'm trying to minimize my sponsorships just like in general, because just ethically I'm trying to encourage ethical consumerism, and like there are many things that go into that. But as of right now, this podcast is not sponsored at all. Mm-hmm. Not saying that it won't be I'm not opposed to that, but it's actually really difficult to get podcasts to be sponsored.
Yeah.
More so than YouTube channels. Mm-hmm. I think the podcasting world is weird. I'm still learning about it, but anyways, in order for us to kind of make somewhat of a living, I'm hoping that we'll be able to, you know, just run AdSense and make a living doing that, or maybe not even a living, but like compensate us for our time.
Yeah,
because truly, I mean, the camera equipment, having the studio, having, you know, the podcast equipment, editing, being compensated for that time, that sounds so terrible to say out loud, but I guess I would appreciate, it's free to watch on YouTube.
Yeah, for sure.
It helps us out.
Also, how else subscribe. Are you gonna see our dope outfits?
Of course.
And little Rue doing mischievous activities.
That she does. Who knows what she's doing right now? I just opened the door. She's been unleashed to the mystery. Rest of the house.
She's doing whatever her little heart desires.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, seriously.
She does enjoy just sitting on, we have a couch in the living room. She just sort of like sits on top of the couch like a cat.
She's a watchdog.
Watches, yeah. She thinks she's a watchdog.
Yeah. a 7 pound.
7 pound watchdog.
Is that how much she weighs? I don't know. It took a stab in
the dark. She was 7 pounds last time I weighed her, but that she was like only 5 months old at the time. Yeah. So
pequeño.
Yeah. She might have grown a little bit. I mean, she doesn't fit into, so when I first adopted her, she came with like outfits.
Right.
Adorable.
She doesn't fit into the tracksuits anymore?
She had barely. So she came with two tracksuits and a camo vest, which was personally my favorite. Especially
swag.
I mean, if I'm honest, like, she's a small dog. She is going to need jackets.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they
it's
serve,
real.
Yeah. Tay probably knows better than anyone. They, like,
yeah,
you love dogs. You're around dogs a lot.
They just get cold. They have short hair. So they're literally just running around out there pretty much in their skin.
Yeah.
Right. And like, so they need jackets too.
I always saw small dogs and I was like, okay, that's absurd that they're dressing them up, but they do serve a function.
Okay, well, the tracksuit was like definitely
but so we went camping this year and, like, you know, I put her in the tracksuit, and then I also bring like an extra sweater because when we're on the top of a mountain,
no, when we're hypothermia is real. Like, yeah, she could literally,
she'll be cold.
Yeah.
So I you know, I at least have the tracksuit, and then I put like a bunch of, I brought like an extra massive sweater to kind of wrap her in. And then of course I have like my sleeping bag, and I happen to have a really warm sleeping bag. Mm-hmm. So she's fine. But when we first adopted her, my personal fave was the camo vest.
Yeah,
that she came,
it was
with,
like, puffer, right?
It was like a camo puffer vest, and it also had two little clippy things on the back to kind of serve as a harness.
Mm. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, she does not fit into it anymore, which I'm kind of sad because she looked pretty swag.
Swag.
Camo puffer vest. Especially when we were camping.
A look altogether.
That was kind of, I brought it on our last backpacking trip and she no longer fit into it. And I was like, I just wanted to see her in the wild in camo.
Yeah. We'll have to, search the marketplace first.
Yeah. I do. So I've been kind of like looking out for secondhand dog stuff. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, so when I got her, a lot of the toys that I have are all secondhand because they were my parents' dog who passed away in March, which, actually, crazy story.
So crazy.
I don't know how the universe works, but the last day I ever saw our family dog, because I was watching her when she got sick, I was watching her for like the 2 weeks prior because my parents were out of town, and all this is going down, and my parents had to basically like fly back to come and see her. Also, mind you, this was the very beginning of COVID.
Yeah.
We had just had like one diagnosed case in Washington. Like,
the first case.
My parents live down the road from that original.
Yeah. It was literally the first cases were like coming out, and like, you were down the road
from. Yeah. And then, so I was like watching Beans, our family dog, and things weren't going well. We had been in and out of emergency vets, and she had to have surgery, and all of this stuff, because basically, like, she ate something, it got stuck in her intestine, and then part of her intestine started to die off because it was in there for so long. And I basically, you know, said goodbye to her on March 3rd. That was the last time I saw her, and I waited until my parents flew back in to come and take care of her. And like, I was at that point, like, yeah, at their house, and said goodbye March 3rd, and then went home, and she ended up passing somewhere around like noon on the 4th. But that day, as I was saying goodbye to her, Rue was born.
Freaking crazy.
And
I have the goosebumpies.
It's so crazy. But, and at the same time, you know, like, she had had surgery. She was very out of it. Like, I could tell, I can't say I've been around much, like, in the physical room of someone passing, but like, you could kind of tell that like her soul was kind of no longer in her body. Her body was just kind of hanging around. Yeah. And so I don't know what my spiritual beliefs are, but like, how, like, the day her soul passed on, Rue's came into this world. And I didn't make that connection
until
I had already adopted Rue. But I think how I got onto this is I was just saying, like, the toys that were Beans's, so they're secondhand, and then I have been looking for outfits and stuff like that. There have been a few things, like, I needed a harness right when I got her, so I ended up getting a harness from a local company, Wonderwalker.
She's also so small that, like, it's, like, I guess small dogs do exist out there, but, like, to find a harness for a specific size, like, right when you needed it, like, in a time crunch, like, wasn't super realistic to, like, find secondhand, but...
Yeah. That was true. I do remember business. That. But most of the stuff like Facebook Marketplace, yeah, which we're going to talk about today.
That being said, I'm thinking back on what I just said because I've also seen on Facebook Marketplace so many of the times people being like, my dog grew out of this. Yeah. So like,
but I do remember looking specifically for a harness when I first got her, and I looked for a few days cause I was like, I know I need to get one.
Yeah.
I can't walk her without one.
Yeah.
And, I didn't know what size she was either.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that's hard. I've never owned a dog before. And that is something that's kind of like difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, I don't even know what size I am in clothes, let alone size she is for different manufacturers of dog items.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but I do remember looking and there weren't any in her size just that week. Like that's the thing with finding secondhand things is you're really like 1 week there could be 50 options and 1 week there could be none.
Totally.
Where you're looking. But I did end up getting that from a local company and we did make sure that we got one that she wouldn't outgrow. I actually last night heard about a pet store in Seattle called Wally Shop, I think it's called, that they have a program where when you get a new puppy, you can come in and they'll lend you a harness until they reach their final size.
Out. Wow.
So that you only have to buy one for their final size because some puppies just grow so quickly. But there have been lots of outfits. I almost bought her a secondhand Christmas sweater the other day because I kind of figured as somebody who wants to minimize my life, I was like a Christmas sweater could be a Christmas theme, but it could also be her Halloween costume.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Two in one. I didn't go through with it because I said, do I really need frivolous outfits for her? Probably not. But there was a part of me who really wanted to.
Yeah. Oh, the little pumpkin. She just went in her crate.
She just went in
snuggled up. She good girl.
Yeah. The crate is also something that I got secondhand and it's pink.
It's incredible.
So originally, because again, you're victim to whatever is available when you're looking.
Yeah.
And
victim.
It actually ended up, I thought she needed that size and it's one size too big, but oh, she's off.
Huh?
But yeah, the only one available that week in her size was pink. So I said, okay, well, heck it. This is going to be the thing. But now I realize it's too big for her and I want to keep it because it's pink. I kind of like the pink.
I don't think that it's that too big for her.
Technically, according to what dog trainers recommend, it's like a little bit too big.
Yeah.
She just needs one size smaller.
Yeah.
Because they shouldn't have too much room in there. She also likes to burrow, so she does kind of
you got so many blankets in there.
I put a lot of things
in
there.
Hi, Mama. You want to come here? Come here.
Anyways.
Sass.
She's just like staring
at Tay. Wow, the denial. All right. Sick.
I did actually, while we're on the topic of outfits, I went to Goodwill the other day for the first time since COVID began. And I did get her a Halloween costume.
Yes.
She's about to jump up on my desk and she knows she's not supposed to. Oh no, she's not going to. Anyways, I recently decided about a month after her adopting her, I decided her theme in life is going to be butterflies because everybody deserves a life theme. I like to think. And I was at Goodwill and somebody had donated fairy wings.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
For her. She'll probably hate them.
She is a little butterfly.
But that's going to be her Halloween costume for life. I always like the idea of just
for
having...
For life.
Well, my parents had like one costume that Beans wore every year. Like, why do I need a bunch of them?
No, I feel that. That's totally true.
Yeah. I feel that way about me, if I'm honest.
Yeah. I mean, I got that purple wig for my birthday party.
Yeah.
I foresee a lot of... A lot of purple wig action in my future.
I don't really need to wear something new every year. Same thing with my Christmas sweater. I've been wearing the same one since college.
Notoriously, I've always tried to just like scrap together what I could with my own clothes and call it a costume kind of deal.
True.
Unless I was feeling real festive and then I was like,
you know, hard. I can see it on both sides. Like it depends on how I'm feeling that year, if I'm honest.
Yeah, totally.
But
even still, I mean, we're lucky. I mean, not that all of their inventory is necessarily secondhand at this point at Goodwill, but they do actually, during specifically Halloween time, they have like one aisle that is used costume props more so.
Yeah. Some but of yeah, them like
still figure
it's
things weird. Out.
It's a mix because like Value Village will have new stuff too. I haven't yeah. really been in yeah, Goodwill yeah. during.
You know what? I was thinking of Value Village when I said that sentence.
R.I.P. I know. We used to have a Value Village in Seattle, and we no longer have one. Yeah. But that was our fave. Well,
multiple have been closed. Shut down in the area. But I mean, there's still one. There's still one out in like Bellevue. We just gotta.
Yeah, we gotta drive to it.
Drive a distance.
Life is hard out here.
Life is hard.
Anyways,
yeah.
So we kind of thought in this episode.
Yes.
We would. I don't know what this accent is that I have on right now. We would talk about five of our favorite swaps that are really easy to live more sustainable and kind of like ones that are a little bit more obscure. Because I do think that living sustainably has been just branded with like you have to buy all this stuff, which yes and no defeats the purpose. Like it's so hard because it's like we need to move the economy towards a sustainable one before, or like sustainable consumerism before we just end up with like closed loop circular economy just right off the bat, because it's just there's got to be baby steps. Right. I would like for it to just all be overnight. Like, let's just make these changes. But, you know, it's hard because, yeah, like consumerism is not necessarily helping the planet, but also like we have to support sustainably focused businesses.
Yeah, totally.
But that being said, I would say that the majority of sustainable swaps should be like free. You should just be using what you have. Right. Yeah,
exactly. It's tricky because it's like, just use up what already exists, whether that be already in your possession or you acquire it somehow and use up something else. And then once you've exhausted those options is when it feels appropriate to then support a business with sustainable practices.
That being said, not all sustainable swaps have to do with like a physical item. It could be like renewable energy. I think that there's also such a focus on like the end consumer aspect of things, but it's definitely like broader than that. And that is, you know, again, going back to the video that I made last week about me kind of stepping back from zero waste, because the fault isn't all on the consumer. Like, it's a systems approach. It needs to be systemic. Totally. It needs to be systemic change.
The supply chain of it all.
Yeah.
Totally.
But anyways.
Yeah. Well, that being said, we tried to get a little creative with it and not just do things that it's like, buy this to trade in your old options. Mm-hmm.
You can go first.
All right. I was going to say, that being said, where do we want to go with this? All right. My first swap. Well, it's not even really a swap, but it's just something that happened organically. I had a couple leftover oils. So I decided when my face oil ran out that I was just going to endeavor on making my own face oils.
Nice.
So this was literally one of the containers that face oil that I bought came in, and I just ripped the label off and cleaned it and whatnot. And so now we got a little canister. But yeah, I kind of just do a rough estimate of some grapeseed oil, some jojoba oil. I always feel so self-conscious saying that word.
Okay.
But yes, jojoba oil.
Fair and enough. Words are scary. I mean, they are.
Yeah, they can be. And I totally mispronounce so many things. And I get called out for it all the time. And I'm just like, dang, I don't know. Yeah. In my head, it's how it's always been said. So it sounds pretty normal to
me. There was one that I've been saying like my entire life and also throughout my entire YouTube career that somebody, an English teacher recently emailed me about and was like, I think you're trying to say this word instead. And I was like, oh, yes, you're right. Yes. And it's a word that I use very frequently and boy. I can't even remember.
I was going to say, what is the word?
It'll probably come to me at some point in this podcast, but it's something. It is a word that I use frequently.
Yeah.
And there are two words that sound very similar and I was using the wrong one.
Classic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. Okay. So my face oil. Yes. We've got grapeseed oil, jojoba, and a little bit of a CBD tincture.
Nice.
And I apply it on my face every time I shower, after I shower, and just keeps it all nice and smooth.
Nice. All right,
on to yours.
On to mine. I think my first swap will be, I mean, but this is probably expected, shampoo and conditioner bars, or just solid bars.
Shocking.
In general. Yeah, let me extend this past shampoo and conditioner, because I just was like so shocked at how amazing and effective they are.
Yeah.
I thought, one, they just sounded like there's no way that that's gonna work. They sounded expensive, because they are, when you look at it, more expensive, but one bar is kind of the equivalent of 2.5 to 3 bottles of like a standard, I don't know, what's a standard bottle of shampoo, like 16 ounces. So if you are kind of comparing it to your traditional shampoo of that size, like divided by 3. So they are quite affordable when you start to realize that.
Totally.
Granted, it's a really easy to overuse them, because especially the ones that are like oil based, because they're just malleable. So you can just like, it's kind of like when you have a liquid bottle of,
yeah,
it's just easy to squeeze too much out. Oh
yeah. So like we get a brand new bar, and then we'll slice them. Nice. Into like really small, and then yeah, every time where it runs out, then we just slice a new slice. Okay. Put it in the shower. I definitely have found that it makes it last a lot longer.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
For both our body soap, because we use bar body soap. Okay. Too. And yeah
like just solid body products in general. I just use a regular soap. Whoops, I almost dropped this jar. A regular like bar of soap for both. I don't, this is gonna sound really gross, but I don't really wash my body that much, like unless I need to.
I feel like you've talked about this before.
I think I have. I don't know if it's just my body doesn't produce, I think it's a genetic thing, like my body doesn't produce.
No, you really don't sweat.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, I sweat, like the liquid comes sweat. Out, but yeah. I think it's a genetic thing.
Totally.
But I use a bar of soap to wash my body when I need to, like, you know, when I got dirt on me or whatever. And also to shave my legs. Like, it's a 2-in-1, which is nice.
Yes.
And that's kind of what I use it for most often. This is a solid, this like Lush container here is a solid bar, moisturizer bar. Cool, cool, cool.
Post shower.
You know, I can't say I'm great at remembering to put body lotion on.
Yeah.
But when I do.
But when yes, you do.
Post shower.
Yeah. Well, that was what I was confirming, because I have used a Lush bar that's been like a shower lotion.
Oh, yeah.
Before,
no, this is like,
which is nice.
Body, regular body lotion.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Not like an in-shower gel.
Yeah. I need one of those for sure. We're right now using up, Harley got a care package from his mom, and she sent some lotion in it, so I'm using up that container right now. But I am out of like my low waist, and I'm looking for some lotion, so let me know if you use that and you
yeah,
like
that
it.
One's a new one. I do have a few of them though.
Okay, cool.
Or not
yeah.
a few, I have 2 of them, but yeah
they're nice.
They're great.
Nice.
They kind of just like melt on your skin. Yeah. And, you know, solid products, or a certain solid product might not work for everyone, just as like a certain packaged product might not work for everyone.
Yeah.
These shampoo bars, for example, that are in here, this is, I just picked this up because this was sitting in my bathroom, but these are like my travel bars, because I don't love them, so I just bring them with me when I'm traveling. Yeah. I don't really know what my plan is to use these up with, but there have been some that I like, some that I don't like. Yeah. There's different types. And it's the same thing as, I think that's what's so hard about finding, especially sustainable beauty swaps, is that it took me forever to find what I liked out of the realm of things that came in packaging.
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
Let alone now I have to select from a smaller selection and do this all over again.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
It can take some time. And I think some people might jump to the conclusion of like, well, XYZ didn't work for me, or like, I don't have my money to waste on trying things over and over and over again. That's fair enough. Again, not everything is on the end consumer, but I would say, I want to say that there's hope for everyone to find products that they like that are solid.
Totally.
Even if it's one, doesn't have to be all of them.
Totally.
Even if it's just a bar of soap.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right. Next swap.
Next swap.
All right. I will stay on the bathroom trend.
Okay.
Our self-care trend. And this one I
think I know where you're going with this.
It happened organically, but it also happened because you had a product of this that was like purposely packaged
Frank
and like
body.
Yeah, I don't know what else they put in it.
Yeah,
but we've got here. Oh God, we've got one hand. Is what we've got.
Assist with the microphone.
Think this through? Oh no!
I know these are hard. I still don't.
Okay.
Again, we might when need to you're shopping this, secondhand, you're victim to whatever the options are that are in front of you. So we still don't have mic stands aside from these tabletop ones that I used to use a few years ago. I've been looking at the options.
Yeah.
Just at least what's on Marketplace. I haven't really looked. I haven't looked too in depth, but at what I can find secondhand for a mic stand. Haven't found success yet.
We're working on it. Anyways, don't know if carry all on. That will be cut out or not. But anyways, so got here some leftover coffee from this morning.
Nice.
Do you know what I did or will do with this coffee from this morning?
Considering I also know the answer to this.
Yes,
I do know what you do.
Oh wow.
Some people might not know though.
I take these here leftover coffee grinds.
Mm-hmm.
Important, they are ground and have been watered already. Boiled, right. Watered. I actually don't know if that's important or not. But
well, they've been used. So.
Yeah, they've been used. Yeah. Yeah, sustainable.
Their life cycle has
Anyways, midway. Yeah, and I just slap it all over my body and use it as an exfoliator.
I just slap it all over my body.
Just give it a good lather.
Coffee grounds can also be good fertilizers for certain plants, but not a lot of them because they are acidic.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard something like that before, yeah. But I didn't look into it, and it makes me nervous to just throw coffee grinds into right. my
The thing with
plants.
Coffee grinds as an exfoliant as well, like you just use them in their like pure form, and like our plumbing is pretty good, but there is definitely like a risk of it like having yeah. plumbing issues, especially if you're combining it with like certain oils. I don't know much, but that's all I'll say. Do some Google machining.
I was also going to mention there's no world where I use that entire
right.
filter sock of right. of coffee grinds.
Right.
Yeah, just a small amount to get that exfoliating yeah. happening.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll use it like with soap and like I'll lather it up so that like it gets soapy, and then I'll put the coffee grinds yeah. on and just, you know, soapy lather, and then
maybe
yeah,
we can start making soap. Some people make like body lotion bars that have like exfoliating grounds and other
yeah,
things.
Yeah, yeah. Fun. Yeah.
That could be a fun project.
Yeah, given second
time
life.
I don't have. with all the time I don't have. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a fun one.
That's a fun one. Coffee grinds have a lot of repurposable, like they're one of those like universal, like there are yeah. some cool things you can do with it.
Do some things with it.
One time got reached out to by a company, and I don't know what else they mixed it with, but they were making sunglasses out of coffee grinds.
Well, I've also made a...
I'd assume there'd be like a resin of sorts though in there, which is tricky.
True, yeah. True. I've made a... lip exfoliator nice. With it as well.
Those
which also
great.
Just in the shower, same concept, can just yeah. like rub it and like rub it on the lips yep. and keep moving. Yeah, it's really nice, makes the lips nice and soft.
Lip exfoliating, I didn't realize until like 3 years ago, is vital.
It's vital and it's luxurious.
That actually goes into my next one. Ooh. Which is definitely a very complex one, and again just similar to the whole shampoo bar and conditioner bar one, is going to be look different for everyone in whatever living situation that you're in. And I definitely receive questions about this frequently, but I'm not an expert on all of them. I would say Google knows a lot more than me. But composting.
True.
I love it.
I love it.
All right. Well, I do.
I feel that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If anyone knows of any organizations that I can get involved with that will help trying to implement composting in every town, in at least in the country that we live in.
I don't think there is, but there yeah. definitely should be.
On the ground with that, because yeah. that's something... Like, part of me would give up my entire career if that meant just, like, really fighting for composting. Like, I think it's so important.
Totally.
And as of right now, it's like, we're so lucky. If it wasn't as accessible to us in Seattle, because we do have curbside pickup, which they basically just come and get it when they come get our regular trash. Holy smokes, we're lucky. When I lived in New York, I would keep it in my freezer and then I would walk it to a donation thing.
Totally.
And like, you know, you could do like the worms in your apartment, you could do an outdoor, you could do a community garden. Like, there are so many different avenues to doing it, but I probably wouldn't have, like, it was just so easy for us. It's a no-brainer, and it still bothers me that people don't do it here.
Yeah. I mean, and even just with that, like, you're talking about like a city, like, and it being like that complicated, which I could like maybe understand it being a little bit complicated to infiltrate into every like major city the way that it has been in Seattle.
Right.
But like, even just like the culture, like East Coast culture back home in Jersey, like, I know for sure there was no composting going on over there, you know? And like, me and Harley have even like recently had a conversation like about that. Just like, it's like wild to like reflect back on like when we go back home and like we see people literally putting full things of food just like,
yeah, but in again, the trash. It just became part like, of our normal,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, totally.
But I would like for that to not, I would like for that to be a part of everyone's normal, because it just seems, it just seems to me like there are certain things in life that like, oh, that's just the way we do things. And so people do them, right? You know, everyone knows that they need to go to school, whatever. I don't know. That's probably a bad example, but like, that's just what we do, right? Everyone has to go to school up until like a certain year. Like
get an education.
Yeah. Like you have to complete a certain year up until a certain year in high school, just because that's the way it is. I mean, I guess that's the law, but they had to make it the law for people to do. I don't know. There are just certain things in life. I'm going off on a tangent now, but there are certain things in life. It was a bad example. Certain things in life that we do just because they're the norm.
Totally.
And just, and like, I'd like for, like, we know that we need to throw things in the trash,
the
right?
The ease factor,
like,
of
we're
it
not throwing
too.
Them in our backyard. We know that we need to throw things in the trash. So why can't we know that, you know, produce has to go in the compost? Yeah. Like, I think there are many ways to do it.
Yeah.
And again, I am saying this from like the most privileged position, because we do have curbside pickup.
Yeah.
So it's a hard one for me to really speak on, but there are a million ways of doing it. And I think that it's one of the most important swaps that you can make.
Yeah. And it's a big one for the environment for sure.
It's maybe, there's definitely a hurdle because you have to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah. And if, you know, my partner's parents started doing it at their, like, they live out in the country and they started doing it just because like it saves them money on soil, like, theirs wasn't even an ecological footprint reason, it was just a convenient thing for them to do.
Totally
reduce their trash amount, so they have to pay less on trash pickup too.
Yeah, makes sense.
But yeah, anyways,
let's start a national composting business.
Okay,
or it doesn't even need to be a business. I don't like the word like
is we're there not a profiting movement that I can I just want everyone to know the benefits of like what capturing that carbon and not getting it stuck in, because like the minute you put something that's going to decompose into a garbage bag, it's going to get stuck in the plastic, it's going to start to decompose in there, it's going to create more like methane, and I think it creates methane, carbon dioxide, greenhouse gases. That
are you just saying words now?
Anyways, and then replenishing our soils with the nutrients, like returning everything back to nature, has like so many benefits. Our soils are so depleted now, and
yeah compost,
very important.
Feel that. I don't even know what number sustainable swap that was.
I think it was three for me, so
right, yeah, that was your
so five. Six. Wait, you had the.
I've only done two.
Okay,
I've only done two.
This
is your second.
I'm sorry.
We're killing it. Anyways, on to the next.
That's so, you.
That is me.
Yeah.
Third, we will go with a sustainable swap that I regularly have incorporated into my life. Being here in Washington State, it is a legal recreational cannabis consumption state. Mm-hmm. And I just like to be conscious in pretty much all aspects of my life, of the things that I'm consuming and how it's packaged and, you know, where it goes. And so one of the things I look for are sustainable packaging for my weed supplies. Yeah. And so what we've got here is this one brand. The brand is called Saints. It's a Washington company, and they package they pre-roll joints. There are like 5 joints per package, and they come in these little cardboard boxes.
Nice.
So it makes it's real crazy. Nice to just recycle once done.
Yeah. I guess you maybe could compost those too. I don't know.
I haven't inspected them. I'm not sure yet. They're definitely some thick cardboard. Yeah. So
I personally don't smoke weed. That's just never been my thing.
Totally.
But yeah, it is legal here, and I have been into a few cannabis shops.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And it does baffle me at the amount of plastic that's in there, especially because it is a movement that is supposed to be like advocating for like natural remedies.
Yeah. Yeah. A green movement of sorts.
A green movement. Right. It just seems like a disconnect. And, you know, when you say that you're advocating for one thing, but then not actually standing behind it because you're more interested in like other aspects of it.
Totally.
That,
yeah.
You know, yeah. It's not a good look.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so there's just like so much plastic. It's also interesting though, because here in Washington State, we do things one way, but in other legal states, there are different like ways to rules. Consume and like and purchase the cannabis. Yeah, there's like so many different laws. And I know I've heard of like, I don't know if it's California or Colorado, but like kind of like a bring your own jar kind of situation. And like they like have jars of weed like available bulk. And literally bulk weed. God. And they just like pull the weed out from their bulk bin and like they let you like smell it and stuff. Like it's a whole experience. It's pretty cool.
Why shouldn't it be?
Yeah, absolutely. Right? And so they let you like smell it and like see it before you purchase it, which is cool because here it comes in like packaging and like we can't necessarily always see what we're about to consume prior. Right. So like they literally just pull it out of their bulk bins and put it into like your own, bring your own individual glass container and then you scurry on your way.
So before we started this podcast, we were talking about whether or not we wanted to talk about this topic just because it is, it's something that I personally like, this is kind of like attached to my brand and it's like something that I personally don't really do. And it's like it's a taboo topic. I feel like in the beginning I was like more on the fence, but now I'm like, we should do a whole episode just on like the sustainability of weed.
Yeah,
look at
your face.
But also,
that's a 360.
The industry is really interesting in that like there are so many rules and regulations.
It's crazy.
That I mean, as there should be in any industry, I suppose, especially that's like linked to people's health. But yeah, I don't.
Yeah, there's so many elements to it, because then there's like outdoor grow, indoor grow, and then pesticides.
These are all things I had no idea.
Yeah.
The pesticides thing I've heard about, because there's like a difference between the organic and not organic.
Yeah, like there's like good pesticides. Like just because the word is pesticide, like there's a negative connotation to it.
Right.
But there are like ways that are just actually like preserving a plant the way like your fruits and vegetables are.
But also like the safety of like when you have a store, like you know at least what you're getting, because you're getting it from, you know, I mean, we would be lying if we said people weren't, you know, consuming cannabis in states that it's not legal.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you don't know what you're getting if you don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Paper box. That's cool, because it does. It shocks me. Like when I go in there, the whole store is just
plastic. Even like edibles come in individual plastic. Like it comes in a plastic bag, and then there's individual plastic bags inside the plastic bag. And you're like, why? Yeah.
That's like individually wrapped, like one of those candies. What's that?
Yeah. Like gummy bears.
What are the round candies that are hard? And there's a circle in the middle, like a hole in the middle. They kind of look like
Lifesavers.
Yeah, but you can buy like individually wrapped Lifesavers.
Yeah.
Why? Anyways, what should my next one be?
This will be swap number 6. We're really
swap number 6.
Cruising through it.
This is one that I was really intimidated to share or to try. And there is a whole there are multiple videos. And I think at the time of this podcast going out, I will have just posted a video about a different model. This is my safety razor.
Whoa.
And the video that's going up, I will be reviewing the Leaf safety razor. This one's actually my favorite.
Upgrade. Oh.
Well, long story short, this one, I actually, wow. this, it's really gross and mucky right now because it's now my partner's, but this one was my favorite. And I took better care of it. Sorry, Brett, but it's just dirty. But yeah, my safety razor, I loved, and I personally liked just a traditional butterfly safety razor to my leaf shave one that kind of like looks like a
cool.
It's got like a spring head, multiple blades. I just found, you got to watch the review to know why, I suppose. But I was definitely intimidated to try one. And then once you get the hang of it, like it's really easy. I actually cut myself less with that one than others. Yeah, they look intimidating, but I really loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still working through old heads of my past razor, but yeah, I would definitely consider that because I do feel like literally when my old razors get grimy and I need to change the blades, I currently, similar to my plastic bags, I just have a collection of them because I don't
know how to
don't know what to do with them, and it feels really bad to just put them in the trash.
I actually don't I don't have an answer for that. I don't know.
I know.
But the great thing about these, you know, like that's a $10 to $12 razor that I'm going to have forever because you reuse it. You don't have to buy those heads. There are expensive ones out there, but honestly, that one was great. That one was fine.
Cool.
I probably should have invested in a nicer one just because you are going to have it forever. I just was at a point in my life where. Still am.
Yeah.
Where I was like really broke. And so, you know, $10. Yeah. But, you know, I would definitely like invest, if you can, invest in a nice one. And then the blades are like 10 cents each instead of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You save blades are so nothing.
They come in a package
money.
Of like a bajillion.
Yeah.
Or they can.
Yeah.
And
you definitely save a lot of money. And also, I will say my favorite thing is, you know, I'm my theory with body hair is like I don't always need to remove it. I kind of just like remove it when
totally
I,
not.
Like,
yeah.
Body hair is.
Yep.
If you want to remove it every day. Do your thing. If you don't want to remove it at all, also do your thing. Why are we judging people for their, it's just hair.
Personal preference.
It's personal preference. I personally do like to remove it, but like I also, you know, go through weeks of just like not shaving my legs at all, especially in the winter.
Yeah.
And when that happens,
yeah,
the hair is long, and like we all know, rinsing out long hair, like it just clogs up the razor. Those, my favorite thing about those is like you literally just unscrew the bottom, rinse it. It takes like less than a second.
Awesome.
And you just resume.
Very helpful.
Versus like
the shake.
Oh my God. The trying to pick it out.
Shower head.
It's just not convenient. And also you're wasting a bunch of water while you're doing that.
Yeah.
And your time.
Yeah.
Time
is
money.
And then you don't know how to throw it out when it's done. And you just feel sad about it.
These razors too, like in theory, it's a metal like blade, which also I will acknowledge can be triggering to some people depending on what your history is with razor blades. So I do want to acknowledge that, like a little bit of a warning here. I probably should have said it at the beginning, but the blades themselves, you can recycle. I recommend keeping them, and then you do have to bring them to a place that will, because they are obviously a sharp blade. You can't put them in most recycling bins, but you can recycle them. You just have to, you know, do it safely. And I have actually still been collecting mine. I've never actually done a drop off. There are certain companies too. Like, I want to say, I don't know if Leaf does. I think Albatross, which is a safety razor company, they do have like a blade recycling program. There are a few of them that do, where you basically just mail it to them.
Nice.
I think
that's pretty cool.
Leaf sells like little tins, which is kind of nice. Like a little tin like this that you could just put your blades in to collect them in. I use a jar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
keep them in a safe Anything. Spot that's not gonna.
Yeah.
You know,
nice. That's a good one.
But I thought I would acknowledge that because it's not as easy to recycle as you would think, but also it's a lot easier than the alternative.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, for sure. All right. Next swap. My swap number 4. This is actually a swap that has been stolen from you, but has been so effective in my life that I felt like I should just talk about it again. but that is the homemade Goo Gone.
Nice. I love that stuff. It's
I
great.
Know. What is the ratio? 3 tablespoons of baking soda. Which one is more? Baking
it's
soda
more,
or oil?
More baking soda. I think it's 2 to 1 baking soda to oil. Oh, I could be wrong. You
I
know
think I've been doing 3-to-1. I do 3 baking soda, 1 oil, and then splash a little bit more oil if needed.
Okay.
And then give it a good stir around. But yeah, I just feel like I find uses for it. I don't know, frequently, but you know, frequent enough, and it definitely gets the job done more than I thought that it would.
Totally.
Like I use this obviously for like delabeling jars. That's like a major one, like, because
the goo gone,
the residue of the jars. But and then, you know, upcycle the jars, use them for a million different things. But I got like a huge like 8-foot mirror on Facebook Marketplace for free.
Nice.
Insane. It was literally like one of those mirrors that like you have to like concrete mount it to the wall, or like putty mount it to a wall. It's very thin. It's like a film.
What?
Flim.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like it's just the mirror.
Yeah. There's just nothing, the mirror, no frame to it. To like it. Someone would mount it. It's actually like supposedly rose gold, but it's like more just like kind of gold tinted. It's pretty dope. TBH. Like I do yoga in front of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's huge. It's like 8 foot by like 6 foot.
Wow. So where did you put that?
My room. I know. Yeah.
Okay.
It would be nice in the living room because I do like to do yoga out there because there's so much space for activities. But
my living room used to be, if you guys have watched my old apartment tour video, you will have seen it.
Yeah.
It's a spacious apartment.
Oh, it's quite spacious.
Like, for an apartment. Which, how?
Yeah.
Did we find that in our price range?
You, girlfriend, know. You did that.
Craigslist.
And I am forever appreciative of it as I'm still living there. Funneling through roommates. Anyways, last thing about the Goo Gone, I recently painted the wheels on my car because I've had my car since 2010 and it is a 2007 Jeep, and the wheels, so like not the tires but the wheels, like were just like cracking and like just looking gross and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And so my partner taught me how to do a nice
I did see your Insta story
can.
Snaps of you painting
spray painted those bitches.
I wasn't sure what was going on I saw the after photo,
but yeah, I mean it looks impressive. Incredible now, but that being said, some of like the primer, which is a lighter color, got on my tires, the rubber tires, and so in order to get that off, I just put some Goo Gone all over it and let it sit for a little bit, and then just wash it off. So super cool, got paint off rubber tires, so
nice.
It's definitely some efficient stuff.
I use that stuff for everything, like even if it's more than just delabeling jars, which is probably what I use it for the majority. But you know, the other day when I adopted Rue, I didn't have any bowls for her, so for the last 2 months I've been using like an old Tupperware, just anything I can find. And so finally I was like, this is why I went to Goodwill the other day. I was like, I'm gonna go and just thrift her, you know, some cute vintage bowls.
Right.
I just kind of wanted a mix matched set. Whatever was like $3 was gonna be what she was gonna use, and I did end up getting a really cute set. But you know, even when you go to Goodwill and you buy something, they put like a price sticker on it, and then you got goo.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's not just delabeling jars. It's just like,
oh yeah, anywhere stickers are put on.
Yeah, it works.
All right.
And it's not actually Goo Gone. To reiterate, it's like a DIY. There is a product called Goo Gone, which is what I got the inspiration of the name from.
Right.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
Oh, okay. This is one that I tried a few different things out there. And this is a product, which I know that we were saying at the beginning, like not everything is product related, but I do, and it is kind of pricey. I love these Bite toothpaste tabs.
Awesome.
I've tried different toothpaste tabs, and these ones, literally, you just like squish it with your teeth and it just goes poof and it becomes toothpaste.
Awesome.
All in one. And they do now have like they have nano hydroxypatite, NHA in it. We're gonna go with NHA. Which is a fluoride alternative, because it is also really hard to find toothpaste tabs with fluoride, if that's your thing.
Interesting.
And Yeah, I really, really like them. That's pretty much all I have to say about them, other than they become toothpaste. And I thought it was a weird concept until I tried them. And I have tried other ones that just, like, feel chalky in your mouth. Like, they don't actually become, like, a toothpaste.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bite ones do. They're great. I haven't tried the Lush ones. I know Lush sells some, and, like, Lush is just, like, a really accessible place. They're everywhere. So I do want to try those just to, like, be able to recommend them on the internet or not. But for right now, I really like Bite. They're great.
Nice.
Cool company. The founder's really cool too. So.
Sweetness.
Also, they were on Shark Tank, which is one of my favorite shows of all time.
Yeah. Gotta respect them.
I've seen every episode of that show. Wow. I love it so much.
Are you still up to date? Like, do you still watch them?
Unless there's been recent episodes within the last month, but last I checked, they've been on a break. But
nice.
I was watching up until, I mean, so many shows, like, with COVID, I wonder when, like, they're going to bounce and back. Stuff.
Yeah,
because I've definitely heard of some, like, scripted TV shows going into kind of a bubble situation where they're, you know, just going to get in for a month, shoot, no one's allowed to leave, and then try to get out, I guess. But I don't know when
that's
media and entertainment will fully bounce back, because I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm running out of things to watch. But will I? Because things just keep coming out.
No, you never will.
Is it just me, or the only reason this is on my brain is because you mentioned it when you walked into the house earlier, but does the Tiger King portion of quarantine feel like it was 100 years ago?
Insane. This, like, goes back to what we talked about last podcast, where we were like, 2020 has been 1,000 years, but also has flown by. The Tiger King era of quarantine might as well have been 20 years ago.
Right. But it also, like, was it February yesterday?
Very weird.
Have you ever thought about the fact?
Are we going to talk about this every episode? We might.
Stay tuned.
We can't fathom the concept of time.
I was thinking back. So right at the beginning of COVID, there was, like, a cruise ship that had COVID on it.
Yeah.
And that came into my brain, and I was standing in the kitchen with two of my roommates, and I was like, was that COVID that was on that cruise ship? Like, I couldn't remember if it was a news story I had heard of a mysterious disease.
Yeah, right.
Like, years ago, that wasn't COVID. That was just, like, some, like, oh yeah, there was something going around, but it wasn't COVID. Or was that?
It was COVID.
Was that this year? Yeah, it was.
Spoiler.
I thought that was,
it,
like,
was COVID.
Like, at least something else a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways.
Very weird.
Your turn.
Anyways, Doc Antle is been charged with
animal,
what was it?
Trafficking.
Wildlife trafficking. Yeah. So
good. Fun fact.
Exposed him.
I almost went to Doc Antle's, I'm not going to call it a sanctuary.
Yeah. Tiger farm. Not a farm.
It's not a farm. It's a
cult.
What's the word I'm looking for? Like, exploitation zone.
Yeah.
I was like 10.
Yeah.
My family was on vacation in South Carolina, and I went through a phase of my life where, well, I mean, I still am, but I went through a phase where I was, like, heavily obsessed with orangutans and monkeys.
It's not crazy that you loved animals, you know?
Yeah, no. But I just spoke about orangutans, like,
a lot.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. They're still dope. Love orangutans, but I just went through a phase of, like,
close ancestor to humans, so.
Right.
They are one.
I love monkeys. I love them. So much. Do you remember when we were in Thailand and a monkey tried to steal my camera?
Yes, I do.
And I ended up getting a picture as he was trying to steal my camera.
I remember the panic.
There was much panic. He was not happy about tourists being on his beach.
Well, no, of course.
Of course not. But,
of course.
Anyways, I did almost go to Doc Antle's. I keep wanting to call it a resort, but it's, like, the polar opposite of a resort. I almost went when I was, like, 10. I was obsessed with orangutans, and I was on vacation with my parents one summer in South Carolina, and I believe in Myrtle Beach. I just remember my parents being like, you know, you guys can each pick something that we do, and I really wanted to go there. I found it maybe via, like, a brochure or, like, the internet or something before we had gone, and I remember my parents and I, we drove out there and we got there, and I think it was closed. Like, it had just closed or was just closing or was really expensive, like $800 for a photo. It was one of those two reasons. It was maybe a combination of the two, honestly. And so we didn't go in, but I remember it, like, we approached it. I remember standing outside. I remember seeing pictures of people with animals because they got to like take their pictures with animals, which is a weird concept. But at the time, I didn't understand what was wrong about places like that, businesses like that. And it's just crazy that since then, how much growth, not even within animal rights, you're just like everything is just awareness and just learning about it. Because at that time,
you had no idea.
I had no idea. Neither did my parents, neither, like, we didn't even think twice. And it's crazy how much,
I don't know, just looking at him would make me think twice. He gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But
yeah.
Yeah, like, so, like,
pretty crazy.
And that's why, you know, when I'm speaking to people too about them making dietary changes or, you know, whatever changes, maybe they want to be more sustainable, like, I would never ever judge a human for like what choices they're making now or have made, because I made them too. And it's just the society that we're in, and so much of it is about awareness.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. Be mindful
there of are how you live your life. I'm like, how do you not realize that that's wrong?
Sure, with how you live your life.
Be intentional with how you live your life. Did we do all five?
No, we each have one more left.
Oh. Okay.
I'm not sure what your last one is going to be. It might be similar to what I'm about to say, and I don't have a prop for it.
Okay.
Because my last sustainable swap is thrifting, which is major part of my life, I would personally say. Mm-hmm. Especially like since going vegan, I can't even remember the last thing that I bought new offline or even in person.
Do you mean that going vegan specifically had an impact on that, or that like just around that time of your life?
I guess that's a fair thing, because I went full vegan when I moved out here to Seattle. Yeah. And just by nature of being in Seattle, obviously we have a plethora of thrift stores that are more readily available than the thrift stores in, say, New Jersey. But that being said, I was, you know, proximity to New York City, so like thrift stores were available. Yeah. But yeah, I think just like with the vegan lifestyle, just like being a lot more conscious than I was even when I was vegetarian, kind of deal. Mm-hmm. Of just the way that I consumed things pretty much. And fashion was a major one. Like, I mean, I've never been like a huge shopper, but that being said, like, I have always been a person who likes a deal. And so like I definitely have been guilty of TJ Maxx and Marshalls and Home Goods, like, mm-hmm. that was my jam for sure. And
that was definitely your jam.
Oh, yeah. Even now, I still go in there and I just, like...
What?
I just, like, let the store sink into me without using my dollar to support them.
Right. Fair enough.
Just, you know, smell the candles and...
I mean,
look at all the gourmet food options they have in that one aisle that are all probably a little bit stale because they've been there for so long.
But honestly, their food selection was like not
off the charts. Me and Harley were actually just talking about, we're out of sea salt and we don't know where to just get like whole sea salt. I mean, I think there is probably like Sprouts and like a couple places here that we could get it in bulk. Mm-hmm. But like just with our regular lives of going to like our regular grocery stores, it's either you have to buy it in the grinder or it's like already ground up and then it's in a bigger bulk option, and like those aren't what we're looking for anyways. So he was like, maybe we should go to TJ Maxx and check out if they have any salt, Himalayan salt.
You might be in their fancy section, big bag of it.
Yeah, like a large bag of it.
Yeah.
So but yeah, well anyways, yeah, so thrifting. And that being said, the outfit that I am currently wearing was all thrifted. The shirt, 25 cents hot off the press.
See, you can
for
still
this
have
swag,
but that's the thing, you can still have deals.
I love this shirt so much. I don't know if you can like really see on camera how the
it's
details
a phenomenal
but
shirt.
It's like an 80s style like shadow type situation where the dog is like looking in one direction, it's and like then there's silhouette. Like a smaller image of the dog
it holding reminds me of
a feather in its mouth it in reminds a prairie
me,
field.
It reminds me like it could be the cover of a VHS movie of like Lassie, but totally. It's not Lassie. It's yeah. like
it's a black lab.
It's a black lab instead.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So that was 25 cents.
Do you think that the dog that's down here is this dog in puppy form? Like he's thinking back on his younger years.
Like his youthful.
Is that what's going on?
I think that that's how I like to envision
it. This is why you need to watch on YouTube.
Yeah.
Just saying. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah. So sorry for the listeners only, but.
but.
It's a lot going on this shirt.
It's a phenomenal shirt.
Yeah.
Also, you did say you like to get a deal. You can still get a deal when you're shopping secondhand. Yeah, you can still
get a deal. A 25 cent shirt.
I think too. What we were kind of saying in the last one, like the monetary value of something doesn't innately like have its actual value in it. And so I think when people look at, like, you might actually be spending more when you're buying quote unquote new clothing. But there's like a perceived deal because in your brain you're like, well, it's worth more, but it's not actually worth more. Like it's still there. I mean, okay. Some secondhand clothing has like is really worn. Most of it isn't that worn because we buy so much clothes now that people wear things once or twice and then they donate it.
Yeah.
So like there is still like it's like saying like when you drive a car off the lot, it's worth like I don't know what the expression is, but it's worth like 15% less or whatever. And that makes no sense because it's the same car as it was on the lot 2 seconds ago with couple feet,
yeah,
maybe a mile totally on it.
I mean, that being said, these overalls are like over $100 pair of overalls. I think they're like, I looked them up because I was curious, and it's like I think it was like $130 pair of overalls. I've seen them on influencers in the wild not in the wild, but you know, just in the Instagram sphere, I've seen these exact overalls, and someone on Facebook Marketplace was letting them go for a mere $40.
Nice.
And though I do recognize they have been worn because the girl actually sewed more buttons on the side in order to like make the waist go in, which is actually very convenient. It makes there them fit perfectly.
Yeah.
They were like brand new. Yeah. I think she must have worn them a handful of times and then put them out, and it's just like you can still look designer have it that same value of designer
also
clothes.
Considering that clothes now are so vintage inspired.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's definitely waves of fashion and in style, and like also just who you are as a person. Some people like
this time last year, there was like a mega like 2000s. I mean, there still kind of is, but like the mega 2000s influences like come back in.
Yeah.
And like I've definitely thrifted things that looked like they were from Urban Outfitters.
Totally.
Like 2019, 2020. Totally. But we're definitely almost
not
as old as me.
Yeah.
But also, I think what's a good thing to note about thrifting too is like, in my lifestyle, that doesn't just mean clothes. I actually don't buy clothes that often. I maybe buy clothes like once or twice a year.
Yeah.
But everything in my life I thrift now. Like my desk, these chairs, this lamp, like these mugs in front of us.
Boots, furniture,
this podcast
painting.
Gear. Like anything that I need, I always check for secondhand first.
Absolutely.
Not gonna lie, like there are definitely things that I consume that are new. But it's definitely like out of the percentage, it's definitely like a small minority.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more, less expensive. We are lucky because we do live in a city, so I will acknowledge that that makes it easier. But if I do have that ability, if I do have that privilege, why not exercise it?
Absolutely.
And yeah, look out for people moving because they get rid of things.
And they just don't care.
They just don't. Well, because when you're moving, you're so stressed. Yeah. So I don't blame them. I've been through
that. They're like, oh, this West Elm table that cost me $700. Would you like to just have it for maybe $13?
Yeah.
And you're like,
well, it's usually a little more than that. But
I found West Elm stuff like actually in trash before and like taking it out of trash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, moving is stressful. I've definitely been in that. Like when I left New York, I was like, I know I need to be on a flight tomorrow and I have to get rid of all this stuff. I literally, to the guy who was moving into my room, I was just like, take it all. Give me $100 and yeah. you can have all of my furniture. Like I've been in those. When I was moving out of college, like every time I move, I'm like, I don't know what to do with all this stuff.
Yeah.
I still have stuff in your apartment.
You do. That you do.
The moving is hard.
It's all good.
Which I do need to come get because they happen to be my winter coats and it's starting to get cold out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The time has come.
The time has come for me too. But
to officially move out.
And it's even like obscure things, you know, like a couple weeks ago I was like, I need a new... Okay, I thought about getting a new planner until I stopped myself to tell myself that buying a new planner is not going to get my life together.
No.
But I did think about buying one, and there are people who do sell their planners and they just rip out the dates that have already been used. And like, is that kind of weird? Yeah, but does it also make sense? Like, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, if the dates are in the past and you're not going to use them.
I'm not going to use them anyways.
Whatever. Yeah, no, that fully sounds like it makes sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, you're missing half the book. But
whatever, the past is the past.
Yeah.
All right. What's your last swab, girlfriend?
Well, I was gonna say just like thrifting everything, especially like just to expand on what we were just saying. Like Facebook Marketplace is such a valuable tool because not everybody has Facebook, but like it definitely seems to be the platform that like a lot of people have, so a lot of people are using. But obviously there are apps like Letgo, there's Craigslist. It kind of depends on the person, and you know, like I've noticed people in our generation, it doesn't have to be generational, but like my mom tends to gravitate towards certain platforms to post things. Yeah. Like she'll probably post things on Letgo because that's just like the brand that she's now associating,
you know,
getting rid of things
Letgo
with.
Actually got bought out by OfferUp.
Yeah,
so it doesn't exist anymore. It's just all on OfferUp. But that being said, I use OfferUp all the time.
Yeah,
it's nice because you can put alerts on for the things that you're specifically looking for, and then they come to you.
Right. I like, as much as I'm a fan of shopping secondhand, I tend to go to the actual thrift store less than I do. Like I'm on Facebook Marketplace like every day. I just want to browse because
browsing.
There's something that I need and it's just not available yet. Sometimes I have the luxury of just like waiting, but I am looking for something.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think the universe just listens to that and within a week is like, here's exactly what you were looking for. So like it can be a hunt. It can be frustrating, but definitely Facebook Marketplace has been one of the most valuable things that I've used. Buy Nothing, which is our hyper localized Facebook groups that you can join in your neighborhood or your town where people are basically exactly what we're saying. Like I'm moving and I'm getting rid of all of this stuff. Who wants it? Just in your neighborhood.
I got 3 huge plants from that exact scenario like last week.
Really?
Yeah. Some lady was like, literally, she's like, I don't even have time to like delegate these plants to individual people. She just posted like 6 or 7 plants and then said, they're on the corner of these 2 streets outside of my house. I'm moving and can't deal with this. Come pick them up. And so I literally went. It was like up for an hour. So I was like, oh man, some of the nice plants are going to be taken. And I got there and all of the plants were there.
Nice.
So I was a good neighbor and I only took 2. And there was like 6 or 7. So I was like, some other neighbors can have some other plants. Yeah. But
Or I could take them all.
I know. I was tempted.
Well, these chairs are actually, I think, my favorite Buy Nothing find. I'm obsessed with these chairs, and I'm gonna film a video soon just doing like a tour of finishing up this studio and like, you know, getting it ready. But I found somebody selling one of these chairs, I don't know if it was the same brand, but they looked identical, for $200.
Yeah, totally.
And granted, the house that I did pick them up at, I was like, how do you live in our neighborhood? This is like the nicest house I've ever been to. So I definitely got lucky. I got so lucky. But I needed, again, I don't know if the universe just like was like, here's exactly what you were looking for. But I was looking for 2 chairs for the podcast
that looked like this. That was part of your aesthetic.
This is my favorite color of wood. Like, yeah. I in no way have an answer to that.
Yeah. Crazy.
I just don't.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that you also got it, because I'm sure like 25 people commented on it, and then somehow the luck gods just grant Christy.
You know, I keep calling it a winning streak.
I know, but it really is.
For a while, there was like a year where everything I commented on I just...
I got. And I would comment on things that only two people would comment on. And I would never get it. I just didn't understand how you were getting every single one.
It's all about the emojis. You got to use emojis and like appeal to their emotion. Because like...
I tried to copy your format.
How Buy Nothing works is it's a Facebook group where people just like post things. And then... you write in the comments like, please consider me, and then they're supposed to pick someone at random from the neighborhood.
Yeah, I was gonna say, to be fair, it's supposed to be done with a random number generator, which I always do every time I post something, because I do feel that guilt of like, how am I just gonna choose one of these humans?
Yeah,
but I have a sneaking suspicion that most of the time people are just like literally just choosing whoever they feel.
Yeah, and I definitely like would butter up with like some emotion, the little why I need it. And then do like an emoji of sorts. That's my hot tip.
That's what I would do too. I even like changed my profile picture to a picture of the two of us.
Oh my god. Wait, you thought that like my luck was just gonna like...
Did you think I just wanted to trick the people? Yeah, associate the face.
I mean, if it was my face that had anything to do with it. She's approachable,
so am I. The two of us.
That's like a sad reality.
No, I definitely did not. I didn't change it with that in mind. But when I did change it, I did recognize that you were in the photo as well. And that maybe it would give me a leg up for my Buy Nothing quests.
I'm gonna laugh that off and pretend that that's not sad. I'm not like that. I'm not that lucky of a human, because I've had a lot of bad luck.
No, yeah, totally. But I mean, it was bananas when you were getting so many when we were living together.
There was a
point. I feel like I've gotten a decent amount actually fairly recently. I've been commenting and receiving.
I do try to like be as good as I can about like when I need things.
Yeah, only
I comment.
Commenting on when I need. Yeah, for sure. But also like. Plants.
But I haven't to say like I haven't been active recently, because like, you know, when I was moving I happened to like need chairs and stuff.
Yeah
but totally. You know, people who need things, I would like, I'm not just gonna comment on anything.
I definitely keep that in mind as well.
I guess, okay, so my last one, I know I did kind of just like expand on yours, but this is also an expanding on the same thing, is just like secondhand things and like keeping them for as long as possible. So like heirloom jewelry. To be fair, these are the two necklaces that I wear every day. These are the rings that I wear. I don't take them off. And if I'm honest, so there's rubies in them because that was my birthstone. So these are pieces that my grandparents gave me like as I was born. And would I pick them out in a store? No, but they've kind of like become a piece of me and I love them now. But I think that's just one of my favorite things, and like just having one high quality thing that you keep passed down from generation to generation, I think is one of my favorite things. I have some of my grandma's old jewelry,
totally,
my great aunt's old jewelry, and rather than just buying costume jewelry all the time,
totally,
which is an expensive thing. And like a thing, like I was lucky enough to, my mom has like this not weird, but she had this tradition that both my sister and I, when we were born, she bought a necklace for us and then gave it to us on our 18th birthday.
Yeah, I think that's cute. That's sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've got those now.
Yeah, I love jewelry. That. I've, where's mine? I've got my chain that I insisted my mother buy for me when I was approximately in the third grade. Yeah, I was in like the second, third grade, and I was a major tomboy
Definitely
shocks any of you.
I knew that it was like a piece that you've had. I definitely thought you were gonna say it was my dad's.
No. Yeah, so well, if you can see that it's like kind of small, like how it's almost choker status, like to my neck, but it's just like a short chain. I got it in the third grade because I was a boy and I exclusively wore male clothing. I mean, gender, like clothing does not have gender.
No.
But you know, bought on the male side of the store.
Yeah.
And
that is an interesting thing. Like, clothing itself doesn't have gender.
It doesn't have gender. My whole life I have walked into a store and said, anything that is in here, I will put on my body if it's part of my style. Like, I don't care what side of the store it is on. I don't know why. I've just, my entire life, that is how I was born for whatever reason. And so I got this chain in the third grade, like, and here we are.
Clothing, too, is, it's just like, clothing is an expression of, like, personality, but it's also art, and it's like, it gives off an energy, right? So if you're drawn to an energy, you know, like, for example, this goes into everything too, not just like clothing, but like, we couldn't pick the thumbnail colors because you and I are just drawn to different energies, and everybody is. And like, I don't understand why society needs to dictate what energy my personality is drawn to.
I mean, I'm over that concept. I was over that from a very young age. I was like, that's made up, you made that up. So I'm not gonna listen to that. So anyways, mom, can you please buy me this chain so that I can wear every single day?
Like 10?
Whatever age you are in the third grade. So probably about like 9 or 10. And I wore it for a really long, like every single day for a really long time. And then I don't know, I kind of grew out of it for a little bit. But I would say at least for the past like 5 or 6 years, maybe even more, it rarely leaves my body, except for my puka shell necklace, which I confidently wore through October.
I mean, again, it's an energy style. Why do you have to wear it during the season? If you want to wear puka shells in the middle of fall, just because it's not summer,
I'm gonna wear my puka shell necklace.
Wear your puka shell necklace.
But anyways, I was feeling a change. I felt like, you know, chop the hair. I'm now fall edition. Fall. Tay.
Nice.
And we've got the chain layers back and better than ever.
Yeah I also used to wear, and it's so sad because I lost it last week, but I wore it for years. I had a little pinky ring that my grandpa had given to my mom, and then she used to wear it in her 20s, and then she stopped wearing it, and then I found it, and I was like, can I wear this? And she was like, yes. And then I wore it through my 20s, and I lost it last week. I'm convinced it's like in my bed or under the bed or something.
Totally. But if you don't know where you lost it / when you lost it, there's totally the possibility that it'll show up. I've like genuinely lost rings and artifacts from my grandparents that it's like sad because we shouldn't have like attachment to like physical belongings, but like when it has that emotional connection to it, I feel like it's a bit different. Super sad, but
I know it's in the house,
so it goes.
It's COVID and I haven't left, so
also true
unless it's at the grocery store.
I was gonna say mine has fallen off just like on walking endeavors.
Then we're out of luck. But I mean, heirloom jewelry, you know, again, it's crazy how much like it's grown on me, because I remember when my mom gave me this necklace as a very ungrateful 18-year-old, I was like, that's really ugly. And I didn't wear it for years, but now I love it. And maybe I'm just also maturing, but.
No, I mean, it's become part of your style.
Yeah, I think heirloom jewelry is very special, and one day I hope to buy a necklace for my children.
Totally. And I think that kind of ties back to just like the concept of looking into what you're buying and making sure that it is a quality of something that can last generations. That's a big aspect of sustainability.
Because again, like, I inherited things like when my grandmother passed away, and I have, well, I wish I had more. But like, I'm thinking of, I have a ring from my great aunt. And like, my grandma's like, you know, a rosary. Not that I'm wearing that as jewelry, but you know. And like, they've stuck around because.
But even like clothing, like the types of denim that you buy, and like there's some that will only get a certain amount of wears, and there are some that will like literally last a lifetime and multiple lifetimes. And
I mean, it's hard though, because it's like, sometimes I don't have the money to buy one of those things, but in theory, like, that I would rather have less things of higher quality.
Totally.
For sure.
Totally.
And I do try to keep that in mind when I'm thrifting too, because you can still find quality pieces at the thrift store for sure. It's fast fashion stuff just isn't made well. That's all.
Totally not.
Okay. Well, I feel like I had one last thought to close that out, but my thought has gone.
Come and gone.
As we are. As we do.
That's all good. I think that was a good time. Yeah. We got a lot of good swaps in there, a lot of good information.
Okay. The next episode, I'd love to do a Q&A, so head over to the podcast YouTube channel.
Fun.
At the end, we'll answer some questions if you have.
Answer some questions.
So leave some questions.
Fun.
If you would like, if you're curious.
Yeah.
To hear us answer questions, because you might not. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening to us ramble off. I hope that us listing these swaps made them more approachable, maybe not. But you know, I think, like, at the end of the day, there are hundreds of swaps that you can do, even if that means taking a 3-minute shower or taking one less shower a week. Like, that that does make a difference too. It doesn't have to be anything concrete. You don't need to buy expensive toothpaste, because that's probably, that definitely was one that, like, was one of my last swaps, like, because it's pricey. But
yeah,
anyways, yeah, not everything needs to be crazy. It could just be using the things that you have as it should be, you know. Buying secondhand, or just like anything that your friends or family are going to use up. And it's can seem weird being like, hey, just letting you know, I'm into sustainability, and before you throw things out, let me know. I think too, like, getting that conversation going helps other people understand that items have more value than just being thrown out. Like, you know, this is an object that, like, don't forget that all of the resources that went into making this thing, like, it is its own, while it doesn't have a life, it is its own object that has carried its own weight in this planet.
Totally.
And, yeah, I mean, again, not every swap that you make needs to be perfect. I'm definitely far from perfect. But these are some little things.
Little things you can do.
Yeah. If you do some of these or none of these, that's okay. But if you do, I don't know, everyone counts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Using a reusable water bottle, thrifting a couple things.
Yeah. Yeah. Do what you can.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
This is good.
I think this is good.
See you next week.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.